Sorry, but
Good morning,
Kathy,
and
can you
welcome
get
to
your number then?
Anonymous, an Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Tina S. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is, Thursday, April the 9th, 2026, and today we're reading from the Big Book. We are on page 30 in the chapter More About Alcoholism. And the first paragraph, starting with, most of us have been unwilling, reading through one paragraph, ending with, many pursue it into the gates of insanity or death. Okay, today's readers are, readers of the text is Liz S., page 164, Martha Z. Our backup today is Kathy M. Our readers of the 12 steps, Barbara W., 12 traditions, Cindy H., newcomer creator, Karen W., and second hour host, Robin L. And the reference number for Wednesday, April the 8th, 2026, is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 23,349. That's 23349. The 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 23,350. That's 23350. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Barbara W. to read the 12 steps. Please read, Barbara.
I'm Barbara W., and I'm a grateful compulsive overeater. Number one. We admitted we were powerless over food and our life had become unmanageable. Number two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our life over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching, fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we are entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. And eight, made a list of all persons that we have harmed and become willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people, whatever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, properly admitting it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having a spiritually awakened as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Barbara W. And now I will ask Cindy H. to read the 12 traditions. Please read, Cindy.
This is Cindy H., recovered, not cured, in Troy, Michigan, compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Thanks so much. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study in the Big Book. We're on the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 30, starting with the first paragraph, Most of Us Have Been Unwilling. And I will now ask, Liz S. to get us started. Please read, Liz.
Hi, this is Liz S. from Oregon, a recovered compulsive eater. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
S. Hi, this is Liz S. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay. Liz S. from Oregon.
We can hear you.
Okay, great. Thank you. I apologize for the delay. Chapter 3, page 30, More About Alcoholism. Most of us have been unwilling to admit we were real alcoholics. No person likes to think he is bodily and mentally different from his fellows. Therefore, it's not surprising that our drinking careers have been characterized by countless vain attempts to prove we could drink like other people. The idea that somehow, someday, he will control and enjoy his drinking is the great obsession of every abnormal drinker. The persistence of this illusion is astonishing. Many pursue it into the gates of insanity or death. Oh, boy. What a great paragraph to start this chapter with. I appreciate, I see this as sort of like step zero. Just admitting somehow or seeing that most of us aren't willing. And that is such a big word. If you're unwilling versus if you're willing, not want, not would like to, but unwilling to open yourselves up and admit, I have a problem. My experience is that I was raised in a household where it was very important to be in control. I was in control of, you know, walking. I was in control of talking. I got smiles and hugs and applause and laughter when I walked, when I talked. It was clear that if I was doing something that I could control, I got praise. Whereas, you know, being out of control was frowned upon. And so it's no wonder that in our society, we have this shame around being out of control. We have a shame, and especially in the 1930s, had a shame about not being able to control our drinking. And I have problems with not being able to control eating certain foods. I just need to stay away from them. But that's jumping ahead. This is just about finding something inside to say, I can't go on like this. Or saying that most people have a hard time with it. And if you're having a hard time with it, you're like most people. So that's the crux of this paragraph. The person keeps fantasizing about such and such a food. Oh, man, I want such and such a food on such and such a day. How am I going to get through the day without that piece of blah? And it's just crazy to think you couldn't get through a day without a piece of particular food. And thank you, Tina. And just to wrap up, I'll say, so if you're new and you're struggling, keep coming back. You will hear something that will help make you willing. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Liz S., for getting us started. Okay. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you've shared on Tuesday or Wednesday, please step back and we'll take a list of names. If you give me your first name, first initial of your last name, and
Harlan
we'll
G.
Call them.
Helene.
Helene L.
Arizona.
Lisa C.
Harlan G. Helene. Lisa B.
T.
And somebody after Lisa D.
North Carolina.
Nancy T. New Jersey.
And M. Nancy T.
Kimberly K.
Monica T. Kimberly K.
Nicole
Let me
S.
tell you who I have because I know I missed somebody. I have Harlan G., Helene, Lisa B., Ann M., Nancy T., Monica T., and Kimberly. And if you've given me your name and I didn't call it, would you give it to me now?
Nicole S.
Nicole S. Okay. Let's
Lisa
start
C.
This. Okay. We have Lisa C. Okay. We have Harlan G., Helene, Lisa B., Ann M., Nancy T., Monica T., Kimberly, Nicole S., and Lisa C. What a great lineup. Okay. Harlan G., please share.
Thank you very much, Tina, for your service. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. This is going to be the last of the chapters that is going to deal with step number one. And this chapter is greatly influenced by one of the four books that really influenced the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. This is a chapter that is going to take its information from a book called The Common Sense of Drinking, published in 1930 by Richard Peabody. Peabody was a psychotherapist, And he wrote a book called The Common Sense of Drinking. The other three books, by the way, since I know I'll get questions later, that influenced the big book are the Book of James in the New Testament, The Sermon on the Mount by Emmett Fox, The Varieties of Religious Experience by William James, and The Common Sense of Drinking is so vital to our history that Bill Wilson's copy of it is in the archives of AA as we speak. But in More About Alcoholism, we start off with something that we tend to forget unless we sponsor. And the way I remember this is to keep sponsoring, that I want to not be, I don't want to eat like other people because they don't eat enough to satisfy me. I don't want the consequences of this disease that they don't seem to have to pay. They don't have clothes that don't fit. They don't get embarrassed by their weight. They can get in and out of a car. They can move. They can look good. They can do things I could never do. But let's take a look at a couple of words here that are very revealing to the insanity that's going on in my head. It says here that the idea that somehow, someday, he will be able to control and enjoy his drinking. When I was controlling my food by I'm eating nothing at this party, I couldn't enjoy it. And when I was enjoying my food, I couldn't control it. Because once I ingest sugar, once I ingest anything like white rice or, for me, white flour, that's going to turn right to sugar and trigger my physical allergy. This is the great obsession. What is an obsession? An obsession is a thought that pushes aside all thought to the contrary of every abnormal drinker. I am an abnormal eater. The persistence of this illusion, what is an illusion? Something that appears real but is not, is astonishing. Many pursue it into the gates of insanity or death. I was not knocking on death's door. I was kicking the door in. I was trying to break the door down. I was 335 pounds as a senior in high school, and I got to be 600 pounds when I graduated college.
Gentle reminder.
700 pounds. Okay, Tina, I have a lot more, but I don't have time. Okay, thank you for your service, Tina, and I hope everybody on this meeting that gives service is knows that we appreciate that, and with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Harlan G. from Arizona. Next, we have Helene, followed by Lisa. Please share, Helene, and give me the initial of your last name, please.
Sure, it's Helene L. And I listen to this meeting every week, and thank you, folks. I'm Helene, committed to my abstinence and recovery. I wanted to speak. I'm 52 years abstinent this month. Thank you, God. It's amazing. And what really helped me, and it relates to the reading, is when I first came into program, I'm from New York City, we would have lots of face-to-face meetings, and the concept that came out, there was a guy named Dr. Jules Hirsch at Rockefeller Institute, and he was doing research on the cells of compulsive overeaters as opposed the fat cells of compulsive overeaters as opposed to regular eaters. My sister is a civilian. I'm not. And what he found, and I'm not sure if the research is going on, it was many, many years ago, is that the fat cells shrink. They don't go away. So the minute, you know, I have to stay away from the first compulsive bite because I'm off to the races. So the fat cells are waiting for me to come back in. And you know what? Even though it feels rigid at times, the way I eat and people around me, they may not understand it, but the way I breathe is the medication that I need. It's a way that I can keep clean, because for me, taking that first compulsive bite is death. You know, I walk around, they call it an AA mocus. Also, I have a program. I have the big book. I have steps so that I'm constantly growing and taking responsibility for my life. And what did I get back from the 52 years of doing this one day at a time? I have self-respect. I'm a pretty decent person these days. And when I'm off the mark, I usually course correct in some way if I have to make an amends or do something like that. So thank you, God. I'm very grateful. I'm going to leave my number now because I don't stay to the very, very end. It's 917-517-17.
Okay, thanks, Helene L. Can you tell us where you're calling from? And sorry, we don't leave numbers because this is a recorded line. And where are you calling from, Helene? Okay. Next, we have Lisa B. followed by Ann M. Please share, Lisa. Lisa B, star one.
Hi, did you mean Lisa C?
Oh, maybe it's no, I have Lisa C at the end. Maybe with it. Well, if there's no Lisa B, then it must have been you that. I'm sorry? I heard
yeah,
Lisa
no,
C,
I,
ha- but
I had said my
was...
name. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I can wait till
Lisa
the end.
C, but I thought there was
better.
A Lisa B off. No, that's fine. If there's no Lisa B, then. Go for it. That's fine.
Okay.
Go ahead, Lisa.
Thank you.
See?
Thank you so much, and thank you
no
for your
problem.
Service. I really can't imagine what it's like to hear 18 names at once. My name is Lisa C. I'm a compulsive overeater from New Jersey, and I am on step one, and I'm so grateful to be on step one and to be thoroughly honest about where I am, that I relapsed, that I let up on my spiritual wellness, and that the trajectory that I am told in this book will happened exactly as it happens. I'm really grateful for that because that means that everything in here is true, and I've lived it, and I'm just grateful that I didn't leave as I've done in the past. I'm also really grateful that I've had experiences of a recovered life so that I know what that pathway feels like as well. And I know that it's real. This paragraph is just so powerful to me today because I absolutely do not want to admit that I am a real compulsive overeater and that I have problems not just with certain substances, but that I have problems with volume and I have problems with restriction. It's a big, fat mess. And I don't want to admit that. I don't want to need help. I don't want to need God, and I don't want to pick up the phone. And so, yeah, it's not surprising that my eating career is characterized by countless vain attempts. And, you know, they will sneak in as soon as I'm not aligned with God. That is where all the peace and serenity is. And I also really, today, this paragraph, what it's really standing out to show me is the way that the physical allergy and the mental obsession are connected, because I've always seen them as connected and not recognized actually that they are two separate phenomena, right? The phenomenon of craving that happens if I ingest the substance, but the mental obsession that happens all the time, whether or not I'm ingesting the substance. But here it's showing me that actually, yeah, I ingest the substance and then I'm obsessed with having more, and that's all I can think about, which I know I've heard on the meetings many times, and I've read in this book many times, but to really feel that today and to understand that, like, yes, Lisa, it's really a twofold illness, and both things need to be treated, but once I have abstinence, as long as I can stay spiritually fit, and you know, ask God every day to keep me abstinent for these 24 hours, then I can focus on that spiritual wellness and helping others. And that is the way out. And I just wanted to share that, you know, how powerful it is if you have relapse. You know, I have to say just personally, I don't love the term chronic relapser. I mean, I don't know if that's what I am or not, and I don't really care for the label. The one label I need to know, the only label I need to know, is that I'm a compulsive overeater, and I really am, because I need to know that every day. And God will take care of the rest for me. And so I'm back to taking steps, you know, one, two, and three, but really step one, every single day, and admitting to God everything I'm powerless over and just how unmanageable my life is. Because when I'm recovered, my life doesn't feel unmanageable anymore. And that slow creeping in of forgetting and denial and lies and dishonesty will come in if I am not vigilant.
Gentle reminder.
And I'm just grateful to share that today, and thank you so much. I pass.
Thanks so much, Lisa C. from New Jersey. Okay, next we have Ann M., followed by Nancy T. Please share, Ann.
Good morning, everybody. Thanks so much for service and being on this meeting. I'm Ann M., from currently in North Carolina, but living life as a nomad these days. And I am grateful to be living in recovery today. This paragraph reminds me that I still, even in recovery, have days where I don't want to be a compulsive overeater. I want to control and enjoy my food. And that is when I need to reach out for a meeting, use the telephone to reach out to a fellow, and use prayer and meditation to reach out to the God of my understanding, because I cannot fight the compulsion, the obsession on my own. I came into OA 15 years ago. I had several years of abstinence. I relapsed. I now have several years of abstinence again. And yet, even as recently as yesterday, I ate something. It was a planned thing, but how I ate it was not mindful. I ate it in a hurried, I've got to shove this down kind of mentality. And that's not useful to me, definitely. And so I need to admit that to my sponsor and to other folks so that I can be honest with myself going forward. And it is so hard, I find, to admit that I am powerless, because all my life I have wanted to be in control of things. And I'm not. I am powerless over the thoughts. I am powerless over certain ingredients. And I cannot do this alone. So thank you all for being here and for being part of my support team. With that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Ann M. from North Carolina. Next, we have Nancy T., followed by Monica T. Please share, Nancy.
Good morning, everyone. Nancy T. from New Jersey. I've been listening on this line for quite some time and never had the courage to share. But I'm not recovered. I'm not abstinent. Had a crazy binge last night. And after the binge, I made the determination to speak up, even though I don't know really what to say, even though I'm nervous, even though I'm trying not to compare myself to all the eloquent shares that have gone forth down through the years since I've been listening and even today. So I would just say that I'm here. I do have a God of my understanding, the God of the Bible. And there is a scripture that says, confess your faults one to another, pray for each other so that you can be healed. So in alignment with that, this is why I'm speaking up. I'm confessing my fault, that I don't want to put God in the driver's seat. I don't want to pick up the phone. I don't want to have to need you guys. I don't want to be a burden to anyone. I don't want to seem like I'm a victim. I don't. I do want to be a normal eater, and I've known for many, many years that I am not. So with that said, today, for now, I am surrendering and speaking up and making my voice known and saying good morning to you all, and thank you for sharing your journeys with me. With that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Nancy T. from New Jersey. Thanks for sharing. Next, we have Monica T., followed by Kimberly. Please share, Monica.
Good morning, everyone. This is Monica T., and I hail from Florida. And here we are, Chapter 3, More About Alcoholism. I have a little subtitle under that. What will happen if you don't accept the solution? And the other note I have on the top of my page here is that this chapter is concerning the second half of step one, dash, unmanageability, which is dealing with the mind and the mental obsession. And if you go to page 59, you'll notice on step one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, and there's a dash. After the dash, that our lives have become unmanageable. And that's what this chapter is about, the unmanageability about, you know, the obsession of the mind, the most powerful part of our disease. And in this chapter, we're also going to read about people who are sober and they pick up again in spite of the consequences. So, you know, this is, goodness gracious here. First, I'm unwilling to admit something. Well, you know, coming into OA, we're the lucky ones because we get to learn off the bat we have a disease, and we learned in the doctor's opinion that we have an obsession, that we have an allergy to certain foods, an abnormal reaction. And now we're going to be studying the obsession of the mind. You know, that obsession, that compelling notion, I got to do something. And it's so powerful. It pushes aside every other thought in my brain. I don't have a chance. It's going to win every time. And it did. And or the illusion, you know, the incorrect or untrue belief, you know, an illusion, a mirage in a way, that I can do this, that I'm okay. You know, my mind tells me I don't have a disease. I'm good. Oh, you're okay. Well, look at you. You got, you know, 3 hours, 3 days, 30 days, 3 years under your belt. It's okay to take a bite. You know, and I might think that's just the best idea I've had in a long day. That's the insanity of this disease. So, you know, If I don't accept the solution that I need, a power that's greater than this disease, greater than this obsession, greater than this illusion, greater than my mind, I'm going to continue trying to enjoy and control my drinking. You know, that persistence, I did it for 50 years. And, it, you know, what did I persist to? Over 200 plus pounds, into pre-diabetic, into cardiac issues, you know, that's where it led me. But today, thank God, that's not where I'm at. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Monica T. from Florida. And if you come on a little late, I'm going to remind everybody where we're reading from. It's on page 30, the chapter More About Alcoholism, the first paragraph, starting with most of us have been unwilling, reading through that one paragraph, ending with many pursue it into the gates of insanity or death, and commenting on that one paragraph. Okay, so next we'll have Kimberly followed by Nicole. Please share, Kimberly.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Kimberly Chase.
Go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Kimberly Chase from New Hampshire, and I am a recovering compulsive overeater. The irony of that is I wasn't sure that I was. I I giggle at how I've been reminded that I when I first came in, it was by the grace of God that I knew there were virtual meetings, and that was absolutely what I needed and what God gave me. And the experience, strength, and hope that I get from these vision meetings has kept me real and has had the influence that God is at the center of every minute of every day. And if I happen to forget that, my sponsor aptly directs me to God, you know, take this to God, you know, whatever. And when I first started working with her on my steps from the big book, I thought, oh, this the chapter that we talk about a higher power, God. I thought, oh, I've got that nailed. And the truth is, yeah, no, I did. It wasn't too uncomfortable. However, I definitely have come to know a different sense of relying on God, and I love that. I also, at the beginning, unwilling to admit that I was a real, well, both an alcoholic and a compulsive overeater, is ironic because at 60s, I'm 62, being at 247 pounds, I'm 5'4.5". I'm not sure what glasses I was seeing, but you would know. And my loved ones would know, would hope and pray for me that I would become healthier. And by the grace of God, I believe I am becoming healthier. And I'm right exactly where God wants me to be. I had to make a decision that I was a compulsive overeater and that my life was unmanageable. That's for sure, even though I denied it, because I had my, you know, I was all together. But I wasn't, and I'm growing into the woman that God intends me to be. I really do believe that. Yes, I do believe I'm becoming the woman that God intends. And thankfully, he continues to be my best friend. He's always there for me. I hope that as often as I need to, I listen to him.
The reminder?
Yes, I appreciate everyone being here for me. And yes, I will pass.
Thanks so much, Kimberly Kay from New Hampshire. Next, we have Nicole S., and then we'll take another list. Please share, Nicole.
Good morning. This is Nicole S. from recovered from Colorado. Thank you for your service. And I can really relate to this countless vain attempts to prove we could drink like other people. And so many of those, it was trying to prove it to myself that I'm really not that bad. And it was, you know, I had this just if I could just get 30 days where I didn't binge, then, you know, that would prove it, that I'm not that bad, that, you know, I've got this thing licked. If I could, you know, just eat sweets on weekends or on this night or just have one, you know, and vain means marked by futility or ineffectualness. So all these countless vain attempts that I tried over and over and over to prove, you know, mostly to myself that I can eat normally, you know, and that somehow someday I'm going to control and enjoy my eating. It just completely ineffectual because I was relying on my own power and my own strength. And I think of the opposite though, when I'm relying on God and I'm going to God with my problems instead of going to the food, and I'm letting God help me. It's not vain at all. I have a source of power who can help me. And, you know, it's not ineffectual. It's very, 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 very effectual. And he can give me what I need every day if I'm seeking his will and not trying to just do better and to try harder, because I can't control this. I'll never have this lift. I'm so grateful to just be out of that great obsession that somehow someday it's gonna, you know, it's gonna be better. I'm gonna, you know, control and enjoy, because that just is not my reality. You know, I've got that neural pathway that wants to go to the food, but the wonderful thing is that God has helped to groove another pathway in my brain that if I go to Him, He's going to give me what I need, He's going to give me the strength and the power to stay out of this obsession. So I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for meetings like this that give the correct information. From this big book and the fellowship, and above all for God, for pulling me back from the gates of insanity or death. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Nicole S. from Colorado. Okay, we're going to take another list. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So, again, if we share it on Tuesday or Wednesday, please step back, and we can take about four names. Who would like to share?
Robert W.
Robert
S-K. W. Okay.
Tony
B. Donna S.
Tony B. And Donna.
Esther K.
I got Esther K. Okay, here's who I have. Robert W., Esther K., Tony, and Donna. And then if we have time, we'll take some more after that. So let's start out with Robert. Please share, Robert. Was a male that something W? Was that Robert?
It was Charles H. I don't know about Robert.
Okay, Charles, go for it.
Thank you very much. But if there is a Robert and you need to share, come on. Because I really don't.
Go for it, Charles.
All right. So, yeah, thank you, Tina, for your service. Vain attempts. Like, I want to drill down in particular a part of the Serenity Prayer that says the wisdom to know the difference. And I'm not trying to change the big book, but the wisdom to know that I'm a compulsive overeater every single day, that my life is in jeopardy by making vain attempts to try to cruise through this thing. You know, I grow through what I go through on a daily basis. So vain attempts is, I can do this all by myself and screw a higher power and screw God. You know, last week we had I had a couple of resentments, and I had to do some 10 steps about how people are poo-pooing on religion, and it's so much that word, right? But no one is forcing you to go to rely on a higher power. The book is saying it. So, you know what? I came up with something that kind of makes sense to me a little bit. Spiritual religion. Yeah, everybody, the world hates religion. But that the simple religious idea that the big book talks about on page 9, when Ebby got, you know, sober, it's surrender. That's all it is. It ain't telling you got to pay 10%. It ain't, right? Like, if you're a real compulsive overeater, there's no other way. And I'm not saying the big book is the only way. I'm saying that I need spiritual help every single day. No matter if I'm at goal weight, I might have a heavy-ass head. You know, some predecessors used to say, you know, there's people with a head full of big book knowledge and a body full of food. Because, you know what, like the way people, their conception of a higher source, you know, Bill talks about creative intelligence. I know we're in the first step, right? And some people, you know, relate to holding your breath underwater. But eventually you got to come up for air. the wisdom to know that every day I have resentments. Don't make me a bad person. Makes me a human being. And I have a program of action. And my beautiful grand sponsor always says, the most underutilized step is 2 and 10. I can do this. I got this. You can't do nothing, Charles, without a higher source being in the middle of it. And we don't like somebody telling us what we must do. We're not telling you, you got to pay 10%. You got to go on your knees. You got to this. You got to that. You could have all the tattoos in the world. You could be smoking cigarettes and still be abstinent. And you could be abstinent gladly. And with that, I will pass.
Thanks so much, Charles H. from New York. Next, we have Esther K., followed by Tony B. Please share, Esther.
Hi, I'm Esther K. from Georgia. I was diagnosed with cancer in February, and everything was taken care of, like, you know, went to the doctor, surgery, everything. So I'm today 27 days abstinence because I was very angry at God. I says, what's going on here? You know, I was abstinent, I'm doing everything wonderful, but God wanted to just push me a little harder. So what I learned from all this is, like, I don't have control of anything. And getting angry at a higher power will not help me to look for the solution. Every day I need to surrender. Every day I need to send my food to my sponsor. Every day I need to use the 9 tools of recovery. I have to make my phone calls. If I don't do all that, I won't be recovered. Like somebody shared, yeah, the cells are all sleeping and they're ready to attack. So I need to be surrendered totally every single minute. And thinking about it now that I'm going to have radiation, I says, well, God, thank you, because my program is going to get so strong because I have nothing else to do. I am not working. I'm home. My husband is a wonderful man taking care of me. So I'm going to work in the program, and I'm going to get stronger and stronger and do service. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Esther K. from Georgia. Next, we have Tony B., followed by Donna. Please share, Tony.
Thanks, Tina. My name's Tony B. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Scotland. And it's been a great meeting. Thank you all for your shares and those doing service. It's good for me to read this in a different way. I could say, I have been unwilling to admit that I am a real alcoholic, or I must be willing to admit that I am a real alcoholic. I don't like to think I'm bodily or mentally different from his fellows, but I could change that to, I must believe that I am bodily and mentally different from my fellows. Luckily, not these fellows in the rooms. I've got all of you as fellows that I'm not different to, that this is the same disease that we suffer from, which is great. But the normies out there, my family members who aren't compulsive overeaters, my husband who isn't a compulsive overeater, my friends who aren't compulsive overeaters, it was difficult for me to really believe it. And I think part of that difficulty was that I thought I needed the food, but this is giving me the information on step one of the fact that I am a real alcoholic. And what that means is that I have a physical allergy, that's the bodily different, and I have a twist of the mind, and that's the mentally different. So the the bodily means if I put certain foods into my mouth, it triggers an allergy. And also, if I have, if I engage in certain behaviors like eating more of the foods that are safe for me, that can trigger me. So I eat by a weighed and measured food plan so that I know that I don't put.
Got muted, Tony. We can't hear you. Tony B? Somehow we lost Tony. Okay, we'll take Donna, and then if she comes back on, we'll have her finish up her share. Donna, please share. Tell us the initial of your last name and where you're calling from.
Hi, I'm Donna S. from Florida. And I'm reading this paragraph over and over and listening to everybody and taking notes. I'm a real compulsive overeater. I realize that, but my mind wants me not to be a compulsive overeater. But I know I am. It's the my mind is all screwed up with the obsession. I lie to myself. I'm not honest. When it comes to food, I'm not honest. And I just realized that probably within the past couple of months that I am a very dishonest person when it comes to food. I can write my food down and I switch it around. I do everything. I have many sponsors. Nobody wants to sponsor me because I don't want to work the program the way I'm supposed to. I have many food plans. I had dietitians. I had all kinds of stuff to help me with my food. I might follow it for a little while, and then I just do what I want. I find it so hard to stay on it. And I've been in other programs, and I do have miracles in my life from the 12 steps. But when it comes to the food, I'm just crazy, just crazy. You know, it's hard to eat correctly when I'm with my family, when we have big get-togethers. It's just, I'm working. I can find every excuse not to follow my plan. You know, this morning I started making my food plan, but I didn't make my dinner. I have people to text it to, but it's just, I'm just all over the place. You know, I'm not, when I see that pursuit to the gates of insanity or death, that really, really gets to me. Am I that crazy? I mean, I got a good job. I make nice money. I got a nice house. I got, you know, okay relationship with my husband. Not terrible, but not great. Definitely could use a lot of improvement. Have not, you know, two healthy kids in recovery for many years. It's just, I think, you know, I used to think it was them, but it's really me that doesn't get it. Even though I've been in working 12-step programs for over 20 years. It's just, you know, but I'm happy this meeting's here. I love to hear all your shares. I'm taking notes. One of these days I should probably read all the notes that I've wrote over the years. But that's all I have to share. Thank you.
Thanks, Donna S. from Florida. And Tony B., are you on? You're there about 45 seconds if you want to finish up your share.
Oh, I am back. So sorry about that. Yeah, I was just going to finish up with saying the mentally different part, you know, just that this is just step one. Really laid out very, very clearly, and there's that body part and then that mental obsession that will always take me back to another bite unless I do this work and do it consistently, and passing it on is really the best way for me to remember it. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Tony B. Perfect timing. Okay. Thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And the share ID for today, Thursday, April the 9th, 2026, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,352. That's 23352. And thank you, Ken, for that. Let's see. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164. Starting with, our book is meant to be suggestive only. Will you please read for us, Martha Z?
Thank you so much, Tina. This is Martha Z. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater by the grace of God from outside of Philadelphia. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until